All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Well, Heather, one good thing you can say about having four boys and no girls is you don't have to worry about wedding prices. You know, that's a blessing. Amen? That is a blessing. I feel sorry for John R. Rice. He had six girls. You know, $25,000 or so or whatever it costs to put on a wedding, you multiply that out, that gets quite expensive. And so you're getting by pretty cheap this time around. Amen? And so, you know, look at it from that viewpoint. Except when they become teenagers and they start eating. They make up for the $25,000 real quick on that. So, but anyway, I'm glad you're here tonight. Take your Bibles, 14, John 14. Let's stand together to read God's Word. John chapter 14. Don't you just love the Bible? Amen. By the way, the Bible is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. There is no errors in it. There's no contradictions in it. If there's an apparent contradiction in it, it's in our brain, not in the Bible. And I thank God for a perfect book. We can trust it, we can live by it, and we can die by it. And that is a blessing. John chapter 14 and verse number 15. We'll look at what God says and speaks to us tonight. The Bible says this: if you love me, keep my commandments. Now I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Jesus saith unto him, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Thank you, and you may be seated. The Bible teaches righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Any nation that refuses to obey the Word of God is a nation who will be under the judgment of God. Any people who reject the Word of God and refuse to obey the Word of God, the Bible said, they will not prosper. By the way, I don't know about you, but I want my life to be a prosperous life. Now, I don't mean it in the sense of financial. I mean the sense of my spiritual life. I want my life to be fulfilled. I want my life to count. I want my life to be of purpose and value and worth in this world. Do you realize that America has had a godly heritage? We are a nation that is rich in the Scriptures. There was a time in this country when you could go to the Capitol building. You cannot go there anymore. You used to be able to go to the Capitol building before they put in the Capitol, the what they call the Welcome Center there. But I remember when we went there, and you could go and you could tour the Capitol, and you would see Scriptures everywhere. You would literally see pictures of great men of the past where they would be knelt in prayer, pictures taken of men who were kneeling in prayer, or those who were drawn as they were knelt in prayer. You even saw places where men were being baptized who were presidents and others. You don't see that anymore. But in our past, we've had that. In fact, the scriptures has been our foundation as a society for over 200 years. Patrick Henry said this, "It cannot be stated too strongly or too loudly that America was founded by Christians with faith in Jesus Christ." That's pretty powerful, isn't it? John Quincy Adams said this, "The highest glory of the American Revolution is that we joined together government with the principles of New Testament Christianity." What are we talking about? We're talking about a nation that at one time was rich in Christian heritage. And thank God there are pockets in America where we can still do that. I don't know if you realize, but right here in our city, in Fairfield, California, we are privileged. That privilege can go away at any moment or any time, but we are privileged. We can now come and we can pray in Jesus' name for key events in our city. We can do that. Yesterday, they had asked me last week to come and pray at the police department for the promotion of one of the captains. And he was being promoted, and they were kind of gathered all in the police atrium. There's an atrium there, and all the city leaders were there. Everybody was there, pretty much. Anybody was there, and people come. And they were supporting as this guy became a captain. And I come to support him. I've known him for years. And so I went in, and when I walked up, the chief came over and said, "Hey, you know what? We want you to say a word of prayer for this event." And I said, "All right." And so I did. And I just want you to know, I closed in Jesus' name. Amen. I did. It didn't matter to me what they said. They could have had the lawyer come over and talk to me, but it didn't matter because I'm praying in Jesus' name. Amen. And by the way, that's the big dividing line today, isn't it? Jesus Christ. You know, it's a strange thing, but that's what this whole nation is built upon. And if you want to say anything, you know who the most patriotic people in all the world are? Believers in Jesus Christ who preach Jesus Christ. We're the patriots of this world. We're the patriots of America. But what is really sad is we are now allowing our society to become less and less connected to the Bible and more connected to the worldly philosophies. It's a really sad thing. Do you realize the less the Bible has influence in society, the greater ungodliness will rise? There's no doubt about that. It is also true when you look at it that it happens within our own families. The less of the Bible that we have, the more ungodliness will be in our families. It is also true in our home, or in our lives rather. It's the less that we have the Bible in our life, the more ungodly we become. I'm glad we just come on with 50 days of focus. That was exciting to me. Stood out in the lobby and was listening to people as they were passing through there telling, "Man, I finished it," you know. And I'm just thank God for that. And by the way, if you have any feedback, go ahead and drop any offering plate. You can just keep bringing them in. And that little form, we like that form. That's great. Because we want to improve it. We want it to be better. I think it's wonderful when you can focus and take 50 days and read the New Testament. That's exciting to me. The more the Bible you have in your life, the more godliness will be in your life. It's something that gets inside of you. The Bible says it like this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So tonight I want to preach on this last message on remaining strong in his precepts. Remaining strong. You see, the world is crumbling right now. The world's falling apart. You know why? Because the God of the world is not there for them anymore. Aren't you glad we have a God that's there with us through the thick and the thin, no matter what? But when your money is your God, and your money's gone, you have no God. But we have a God in heaven. And it doesn't matter what happens. There could be money or no money. There could be crises or no crises. There can be illness or no illness. There could be victories or defeats. But God is still on the throne tonight. I like what the Bible says. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so tonight I want to talk to you about that. I want you to understand about how that while the world may be falling apart, God's people need to just anchor in a little deeper and a little stronger and remain strong in God's precepts. We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about this book right here that's going to make all the difference in the world. I want you to write down some notes and notice, because there are three proofs to people who remain strong, who stick to the stuff when it comes to God's Word. Number one, write this one down. Remaining in His precepts proves our love. Verse 15 of the verse that we just read in chapter 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love God, you're going to keep His commandments. There's no doubt about that. Our love for Christ is evident in verse 23. Can I get you to go back and look at verse 23 with me, please? John 14. Notice what he says. Jesus answered, said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. You love him tonight? I mean, do you really love him tonight? Then you'll keep his word, the Bible says. There's no doubt about that. There's no question about that. We're not kind of backing off from that. We understand that. You see, when God says we ought to get baptized, we get baptized. Now, I'm assuming that when I think about that, I want you to understand, baptism is not salvation. A man's not going to heaven because he's been baptized. We're going to heaven because we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The only way that a man can go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. But after we're saved, now we want to get baptized. That's what God says. No doubt. We're going to do what God says. We love Him. We want to keep His commandments. But then he says that he goes on in the same passage. He's weaving around the fact of our love for Him. How much do we really love Him? Well, he asked Peter the same question. In John chapter 21, he asked Peter about, do you love me? Can I get you to go with me? Look at John 21 real quick. We'll just go over there and look. I love this passage. It's a great passage. As you're turning there, it kind of reminds me of what I used to do with my Chelsea, when she was a little girl. I used to come in, I'd say, now, Chelsea, do you love Daddy? And she'd say, Oh, Daddy, I loved you. I said, do you really love me? Oh, Daddy, I loved you. And then I would come up with something I want her to do. You could really tell she loved me then, couldn't you? I'd say, now, I want you to go ahead and clean up your room. Daddy, I really love you, but I'm not cleaning up the room, you know. But the truth of the matter is, it proves our love, doesn't it? I mean, if you really love Him, that's what Jesus was asking Peter in this passage. Look in John 21, verse 15, I believe it is. And we'll look down through there and see what he's asking him to do, because he's asking him to do something. He says, look, if you love me, you're going to prove your love to me. Here's what he says, verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, if you were to understand this, and you have to read this properly, the word love has two meanings in the passage. Jesus was asking Peter, here's what he says. Let me help you to understand so we can get the picture here. Okay, here's where Peter was. Peter was in the ministry. Being in the ministry has its challenges. You go back to the beginning of the chapter, here's what Peter says. I go fishing. You know what he says? I'm done with the ministry. I'm going back to fishing. You know, Christ had been crucified. I mean, I put my life on the line. Things are getting pretty rough around here. I'm going back. This wasn't one I bit off on. That's what he's saying. So I'm going to go back to fishing. Now, Jesus, post-resurrection ministry, he is risen now. He goes and he finds Peter. Peter's fishing. So he goes to Peter and he says, Peter, you love me? Lord, you know I'm very friendly to you. That's what the word is. You love me, Peter? That's agape. You know I phileo you, Lord. That means friend. I mean, I have a real friendship for you. I really have a kinship to you. And you know, I like you like a friend. No, Peter, do you really love me? You know I phileo you, Lord. You know I do. Then give up all this mess and go back and take care of my sheep like you're supposed to. He asked him three times. You see, if you love him, you'll do what he asks you. That's what the bottom line is. I mean, that's the way it is. If we really love him and are dedicated to him and sold out to him and whatever he asks us to do, I'll just do it. Then the Bible says that's the secret to this whole thing. I want to abide by in his word. There should be no question about that. That's what he's saying, and that's what he was asking them. You see, it seems like today Christianity is almost a surface thing. You know, okay, we go to church and we go and do this and we go do that, and it seems like we talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk. You know? But keeping the Lord's commands proves my desire is not only to be a partaker of the goodness of God, but to be dedicated and partake of his holiness. That's what he means. So our love for the Lord, no doubt about it, that's what he says. But second of all, our love for Christ's word. Man, I love the Bible, don't you? I mean, as I go back to John 14 and I find in there that in verse 24, the Bible says, he that loveth me keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Hey, you know what? I love his word. I want the word of God in my life. When you love somebody, you want to listen to them, don't you? You know, when my wife, you know, she flew out this morning. My wife and I, we're very close. You know, I mean, you know, we talk sometimes on her way into work, and we'll talk when she comes home, and, you know, we're close. We're very, very close. We're soulmates, as they say. We really are. And I miss her. You know, I dropped off the airport this morning. I got up with her at 3:45, took her down to San Francisco, and dropped her off. And on the way back, she got at the gate, she calls me, says, I'm driving back. You know, and I just want to hear. I just want to hear from her because I love her. And if you love the Lord, you want to hear from him. You don't want it to be muffled or silenced. You want to be able to hear everything he has to say. There is a refreshment when God speaks to our hearts. There's something that God does for us. Have you noticed in the scriptures how often the Lord uses words like my child, my son? You ever notice those words? Remember when I was in college, I was going through a really hard time. I'll tell you, college, you can have some hard times in college. In Bible college can be a hard time. And I remember I was in college there, and I was going through a really tough time. I mean, to tell you, I thought I was going to not make it. I remember every day, man, I just prayed every day just to get through the next day sometimes. It was just that way. And I remember I was praying, and, you know, I said, Lord, I don't know. You call me to preach, and, you know, I've already been here for 3 weeks. I got everything I think I need. I'm ready to go preach. And I still had, you know, 3 years, once, you know, 3 semesters and 6 weeks left. I'm like, wow, I'll never get through this. And I remember I was sitting there and I was reading my Bible, and I opened up the book of Proverbs, and God says, my son. That's all I needed, just those two words. My son. And I thought, wow. It's like he's right here. That's how he is. That's why the word of God is so sweet. My son. Let me tell you. You're going to get through this. I'm there with you. You're not in this world alone. I'm walking there next to you. I'm by your side. You think you're alone. You think that you're going through all the trials all by yourself, but I'm there. Open the book. Let him show you. You won't really know how strong he is until you do go through some very difficult times. Man, I didn't know how it really was until then. I mean, you know, I'd been saved for a little bit. I was 19 or 18 at that time. I'd been saved for 4 years. Got saved at 14, obviously. And I never saw anything like that until I got in that place. But I want to tell you something. When you get in love with Jesus, and you get in love with his word, your love to him will prove, it will be proven by your connection to this book. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I don't quite understand how a Christian can say they're a Christian and never read their Bible. You know, I've had people tell me, well, I just don't read. Good night. You can buy it on DVD. You can get it on video, or you can get it on audio. You can get it on MP3, CP3, whatever it is, you know. You can plug it in your radio. You can listen to it. You know, for someone to say they can't read or read it or do not love it, something is not quite right. That would be like me marrying my wife and saying, now, don't say anything the rest of our lives. She would say, what? I thought you loved me. No. You know, you see how ridiculous that'd be? And how ridiculous are we sometimes with God? Amen, church? Look, I mean, this is what it's all about. We remain in his precepts because it proves our love. And what we love will be proven by what we desire. But another proof we find is remaining in his precepts provides assurance in our hearts. Assurance. Assurance means that I have something within my own heart. Assurance. And let me explain to you what I mean by that, because I'll give you the points real quick. Assurance in his love. That means we'll find ourselves remaining in his love, that inwardly we know that we are his. So what happens? Let me explain. Here's how it works. Okay? I was saved October 22nd, 1972. Now let's suppose, and thank God it's not happened by his grace, by the way. But let's suppose I got saved October 22nd, 1972, and maybe I went to church for a year and I fell out for 20 years. Didn't go to church, didn't read my Bible, didn't pray, just kind of lived like I'm not a Christian, but I really did get saved. Okay? You know what's going to happen to me when I do that? I'm going to lack assurance of my salvation. You say, why? Because I'm going to get beat up, man. I'm telling you, Satan's going to bring all kinds of things all the way. I'm going to find myself yielding to those things. And you know what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit of God is going to convict me, and I'm going to feel real guilty. And I'm going to start thinking in my mind, man, I must not be saved. Because the reason why is because I'm not reinforcing my salvation in the Word of God on a daily basis. And I've had a lot of people come into the church and they'll be in that condition, and some of them will come and walk the aisle and they'll say they want to get saved, and you start talking to them and trying to explain to them and help them understand, and all they'll say is, well, you know, I did that when I was a kid, but I guess I had doubts. And doubts are common when you're away from God. But when you're in the book, you know what happens? You get assurance. I mean, God solidifies it in your heart. I mean, I know. Because what happens is God loves me, and He wraps His love around me, and He begins to strengthen me. He tells me, hey, it's okay, I'm your Father. Each act of obedience deepens my walk with God. Every act of disobedience dulls my consciousness of God and gets me further away from Him. Just the way it works. In the last 50 years, we've noticed a disintegration in America and the families and the homes of America. And what has happened is that sin has invaded our homes. And because it has, it's invaded our relationships with God. You see, what happens is when you have sin and disobedience, you add them together, guess what it always equals? D-O-U-B-T, doubt. There's no doubt about that. And what God is saying to you and to me is, as I'm into the book, one thing the book does for me is it gives me the assurance that I am a child of God. Years ago, we had a lady that my wife's mother knew, and I had never met her. We had been married real long, and I remember we went back and they wanted me to meet. You know, they kind of bring the future son-in-law back. You have to meet the family first, then you meet everybody else. It's one of those deals. So I went back to meet everybody else, and I remember that she came out and she met me. And of course, you know, I'm not trying to get anyone's approval, but God's, but you know, you have to kind of get their approval too. And so here's what happened. That lady told my mother-in-law, my future mother-in-law, who's my mother-in-law now, that, you know, my spirit bore witness with his spirit that he is a child of God. And I consider that a compliment. Because that's what happens. The Bible says that. I kind of had to look that up, and I found that in Romans chapter 8. Because the Bible does say that. That our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are the children of God. Without the assurance of God's word backing that up and the love of God that we understand as we value and see that in Scripture about our salvation. That's why it's so important we have the Bible in our homes daily. 1 John 2 says it like this, and hereby we do know we love him if we keep his commandments. But not only that, but an assurance in his strength. As we obey and walk in his precepts, our Christian life is always strengthened. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily the love of God is perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. And that's because we're in his precepts. And his precepts strengthens me. I mean, the more I'm in his word, the greater my strength is. But I'm going to tell you, there are going to be times when I'll fall. I marvel at the story, perhaps maybe some of you have heard, the story of Captain Scott O'Grady. June 2nd, he was flying an F-16 over Bosnia in a no-fly zone, and he was blown out of the sky by a Serbian SA-6 missile. His plane was shot down, disintegrated. On the way down, he pulled the ejector lever and parachuted into Serb-held territory. Now, all he had was faith in God. That's all he had. And he had to recall the commands and the training that he had had. He spent 6 days with his face covered in dirt, his ears covered over with gloves, and he survived eating grass, insects, and rainwater. Finally, on the sixth night, he radioed to an F-16. He overheard, within hours, the Marines had rescued him. He told the story later. You know, each of us experience times when we get shot down. But the truth of the matter is, are we going to stay down? Or are we going to get back up? Let's radio the captain, Jesus Christ. He'll lift us out of that. He'll get us out of the dirt. He'll get us out of the mire. He'll get us out of the enemy territory and bring us back on firm ground. Oh, we need that. There's one more proof if we remain in his precepts. When the world's falling apart, here's something I really, really like. Is it promotes a loving spirit. I like people with loving spirits. As we remain in his precept, you and I, because we love God, we will have a loving spirit. I like people with a loving spirit. Don't you? You guys like to be around people like that. Boy, I do. I like being around people like that. How's it work? Well, go back to John 13. Can I get you to go back there with me, please? You got to see this. Aren't you glad we have a Bible we can all look at together and know it's right there? Look at verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35, here's what it says. By this shall men know you're my disciples, if ye have, what? Love one to another. You know what it says? Hey, if you love one another, you're proving your love, because you have a loving spirit. A loving spirit. If we want love and respect in society, you know what we need to do? We need to get people back to God. Our children are not allowed now to carry a Bible to the public schools, it's sad. Or they can't pray in the hallway unless you're a Muslim. Now you can still dress in your Muslim attire, and you can carry your Quran, but you cannot carry a Bible, because that's violation of separation of church and state. But under religious freedom, you can go and support your Muslim faith. Something's not right with that. You know what I think? We need to get back to God. We need to get back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the truth matter is, and we ought to love one another as we should. I feel sorry for a man or a woman who's married in a home where husbands and wives don't love each other. You know, the world's bad enough as it is. They don't love you out there. Why would you not want love in your home? I tell you what, some of us might need revival in our homes once again. I'd be down here on my knees begging God, say, God, revive us. Revive me! Dear God, I've got to have that. Because we have to have love one for another. For the love of Christ, the Bible says, when you have it in your heart, it just does something to you. In fact, the Bible says this, for the love of Christ constraineth us. What's that mean, constrain? It's the idea that squeezes out. It just kind of moves me. I want to do something. That's what it's talking about. But then there's love for the Savior. Oh, listen, I love him. You see, nearness is likeness. If I get near him, I can't help but have his spirit in my life. When I graduated from Bible college, actually it was university. When I graduated from the university, it was really strange. I didn't know if it was good or bad. I had no idea. And here's what happened. Some of my honest friends, you know how you have honest friends and you have friends, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? So some of my honest friends, here's what they did. They said to me, they said, hey, I want to tell you something. You preach just like Dr. Bob Jones III. And I said, oh, you're kidding me. And they said, no, you sound like him. You even stand like him. Well, he's 6'4". I didn't feel bad about that part. Okay. They said, yeah, you even have his mannerisms. I didn't know I did. I just know this, that the more I was around him, the more I picked up what he was. Couldn't help it. Didn't know it. But it did. I felt real bad one time. I was guest speaking at a church and out of the area somewhere, and I had my wife there with me. And, you know, we were together and we were doing some things, and we were there for a couple days, and a couple of the families came up and said, are you guys brothers and sisters or something? And I said, what do you mean? They said, because you guys are both a lot alike. Now, I took it as a compliment. My wife took it as a slam. I mean, I guess she felt really bad when someone said, yeah, you guys kind of look alike. I don't think so. When that person said that to me, you know what I said to him? I said, have you had your eyes checked recently? But you know, when you're around someone, you can't help but start picking up like that. You start saying things. We just do. Don't you think it'd be really good if you're around Jesus, start picking up some things like Jesus?
Amen.
Paul, that'd be really good, wouldn't it? Just start picking up some of his mannerisms. You say, where are you getting from? The Gospels. We just dwelt there for a while. Now, I don't think you're done with the Bible just because you finished 50 Days of Focus. Man, keep reading. Go to the Psalms. Start reading there. Read. Nearness is likeness. And the more I'm like him, the greater the spirit I'll have. I'll love the Savior. You know what God will do? He'll get me real enthusiastic and excited about him. Hey, I'll tell you this. I'm excited every day to be a Christian. I love being a Christian. I have never gotten up in the morning and said, oh, I wish I wasn't saved today. I'm excited about Sunday rolling around. I got to get ready for it, but I'm excited about it. Okay? I was excited about tonight, coming in to preach tonight. I get excited. Don't you like it when people get excited? Don't you? You know, it bothers me if you see people come into church and they're dragging in. You know, who wants to be around that? I mean, man, I'm excited to come to church. I really am. I read about a little boy one time that his parents were concerned about him because he was Mr. Enthusiasm to the max. You know those kind of people? You know the kind that, you know, they're in high octane like all the time. You know that when they go to sleep, they're not resting, they're just recharging. You know the kind? He was high octane. They could not figure out why he was like that. And his parents had taken him to the doctor and everything. He was just excited about everything. I mean, you know, everything. He was all excited about whatever, you know. He was always excited. And so one day, his mom and dad, when he turned about 8 years old, decided that they were going to cool his jets a little bit. And they thought they would surprise him on Christmas morning. And so what they did was they got him 3 bales of hay and put it under the tree, and that was his Christmas present. He got up that morning and came down on Christmas morning, walked in, and he saw those 3 bales of hay, and he got more excited than he could have had if there had been a whole bunch of toys there. His mom and dad just sitting and watched him, man. He was just throwing the hay. He was just digging. He was just having a great old time. And they thought, man, what is up? And they asked him, I said, hey, why are you having such a great time? He said, all I know is if there's that much hay here, there must be a horse somewhere. And you know what? That's the spirit Christians ought to have. We ought to have a love like that. I mean, we should be so excited because of what God has done for us. Being down in Molly Grubbs, get out of the Molly Grubbs. I mean, that's how the world acts. Walking around with their chin dragging. I mean, what's the worst thing? You're going to die and go to heaven? Boy, that'd be awful, wouldn't it? You got a Savior that died for you. The world doesn't even have that. They don't let people die. People aren't going to die for them. Man, we have a Savior that died for us. We have one that loves us. We have one that's near us. We have the Bible that gives us assurance. And we have the Word of God that gives us a spirit of and a joy and something worth living for that can literally impact this world for the cause of Christ. And to think we would walk with our heads down and dragged around and act like we're on our last steps. See, the truth of the matter is, as we remain in His precepts, it proves our love. It assures our hearts of salvation and promotes a loving spirit. And it could be that maybe the reason why our spirit is not as loving is because we haven't been in the book as much. Instead of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that this man was so much of the book that they believed that if he were to bleed, he would bleed the King James Bible. That'd be something. But of course, obviously, that's only just because he was a man of the book. Don't you think it'd be really good if we could have that kind of spirit in our life? Lord, I want to know the Bible so well that if there's going to be anything come out of me, it would be the Word of God. The Word of God. What are you remaining in? What are you anchoring to? I want to urge you, dig deep into the Scriptures. Because the Bible says by being in those things, we can prosper. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,